a lawsuit about basic human rights and the violation of those basic
human rights. Meg Satterthwaite, were the interrogations of Mohammed videotaped?
We don't know. What we do know is that there were video cameras in his cells and also in interrogation rooms. I would like to know, of course, if my client was videotaped. We have filed a Freedom of Information Act request seeking all records, which would include videotapes if they existed, or transcripts. And all we've gotten from the CIA is the claim that they can neither confirm nor deny having any records of my client.
Meg Satterthwaite, I want to thank you for being with us, director of the International Human Rights Clinic at New York University Law School. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berkshire, Fabio Caduce, Aaron Mattei, Angeli Kamic, Jeffrey Hagerman, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Ricardo Lobo, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, and Peter Curries, our engineers. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And contrary to popular opinion, great jazz in all its forms is still being played and recorded on Jazz on the Air every Sunday from 2:30 till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Each week brings a different host with a different perspective on the music, both old and new. Jazz on the Air, Sunday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook.
Where the time is 6 o'clock, that means once again, it's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
Investigative and Trevor by the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so. This Tuesday kind of snuck up on me. I don't know where it came from, but here I am. I made it. And hopefully you'll make it too, because this show, I'd like to take a bunch of phone calls. All right? Let's set that in stone now. 631-632-9872 is our phone number, or 631-632-WUSB. And the topic is pretty much open, I guess, as always. But we'll talk about certain issues of the day, and certain non-issues of the day, I suppose, as well. And since what always seems to happen, we always seem to get a flurry of calls at the end of the program, 5 to 7, and then I can't take them because they come so late. So let's pretend, let's just pretend for the sake of convenience, that the show ends at 6:30. Yeah, this might work. So closer to 6:30, we'll start taking calls, and then we'll act as if the show is about to end at 6:30, and that's when all the calls will come in, and then we can surprise people and extend it another half hour. All right, I probably shouldn't have said that part, but let's see what we can do. We'll try and get a bunch of calls in tonight, because all kinds of weirdness happens from this point on. Because next week, I just looked at the calendar, and next week is Christmas, the 25th. The week after that is New Year's. Did you know, this is something else that's kind of weird, that New Year's always happens the same day as Christmas? Yeah, look it up. It always happens. Never noticed that before. And also, Independence Day and Halloween, they're always on the same day too. That one I knew. That one everyone knows. But what kind of threw me was when I agreed to do this show back in, 2003? I was told that this was not going to happen, that the reason we picked Tuesday was because Christmas and New Year's never falls on a Tuesday. And apparently my agent was not doing their job that day, and I sort of got roped into this. So next week's going to be kind of interesting, the week after that, even more so. Well, actually, I am at liberty, am I? Yeah, I am at liberty to tell you that the January 1st show will be a special. And it's kind of interesting, kind of cool, actually. It's going to be a clip show, kind of the highlights of the last year, or lowlights, depending on how much you like or detest the program. Kind of outlining all the crazy, wild things we've been doing in 2007. And boy, you know, when you look at it, when you put it all together, you lay it all out in front of you, what a mess it makes. You see that so much has happened on this particular program. Singapore, North Korea, Germany, Brazil, Malaysia, you name it. We've broadcast from there, and of course, broadcast from here as well. Done all kinds of interesting things, taken all sorts of wild and crazy phone calls. And hopefully 2008 will be just as exciting and interesting. So tune in 2 weeks for the special highlight program, the clips of 2007. Just another way of getting out of doing a radio show on a holiday. Okay, what's been going on? All sorts of things have been happening. Well, we had the show last week where we were speaking with Lurid, who is a good friend of ours who is currently, at that time, in prison. We only could speak in 15-minute intervals, and he had to keep calling back. Well, I'm happy to say he's out now. He got out on Friday. And in fact, today he appeared before a judge for that other matter involving a fine that was unpaid because he was in prison, and he was able to pay that today, and everything is finished. No longer on probation, no longer facing... Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because I just talked to him before the program, and he said that he has to carry a piece of paper with him because the computers aren't updated yet. So if a cop were to accost him and look up his information, he would see that there was a warrant out for him and that he had apparently escaped from prison because their computers have not yet updated, and he needs this piece of paper to tell them that, in fact, seems to me a very easy way to get around that kind of thing, just carry a piece of paper with you. But in fact, if you Xerox that piece of paper, you could probably sell it to... And he's the one going to jail. The important thing is he's out, and he isn't facing any more problems. Not yet, anyway. We'll see how long society behaves itself. All right. I had an interesting experience actually a couple of weeks ago. Didn't get a chance to talk about it, but let me just play you something. This is kind of sums it all up. It's a guitar followed by a rocking beat and all kinds of energy. Kinds of things you didn't think still existed. And that, of course, is the sound of Carbon Silicon, the band featuring former Clash member and former BAD member Mick Jones, along with former Generation Xer Tony James. I saw this band downtown in Manhattan in a rather small place for next to nothing. The concert cost so little, you could not believe that they made anything off of this. And they've been on actually for a couple of years, putting out various bits of music on the internet. Most of the music comes out for free, and you can just download it. And it's amazing. It's amazing to see this kind of energy from people that you just assume have given it all up by now. You know, they've been playing music since the 70s, and you know, like so many other people have just gone on for too long. You expect people to just either sound terrible or just hang up the cleats and do something else. Well, not in this case. In this case, it was just so cool seeing all these people coming back together on stage, off stage. We had Clash fans, BAD fans from decades ago that went to the same shows. I was trading stories with people about various times we saw BAD or the Clash, and they're all still out there. It's weird. It's weird to be in a crowd of people with gray-haired punks. But they're out there. They're out there. They're lawyers now. They're accountants. All kinds of bits of society. But they still like good music. And it's I don't remember feedback in that song. Or was that me feeding back? I believe the latter. Somehow I believe I could be feeding back. I don't know how I would do that, but anyway, if you've been in a cave, you have not heard of these guys, by all means, find them, download their album or buy their album. I even bought the album. I had already downloaded it. Well, actually, interesting story. I downloaded it through a site that you pay for music, but you don't pay as much as the iTunes sites. It's one of those Russian sites, which I happen to believe is completely legitimate and accessible from everywhere, and you pay a certain amount of money. They explain how they hand out the residuals to the artist, and they simply bypass the actual CD manufacturing people, and to me that seems a lot more fair and just than the way you get charged for about as much as if you buy the CD, buying it online. It's not the same. You don't get the same sound quality. You don't get the actual physical compact disc, and if your hard drive fries, you've got nothing. So you shouldn't be paying the same amount. It makes sense to pay something like 10 cents a song, $3 an album, if you're buying it online. And it's weird because people say, well, that site's in Russia, they can't be legitimate. I don't follow that. I don't follow that at all. And I imagine if they were simply stealing money from people, even in Russia, I think that would be frowned upon and they would be shut down. That's just my thoughts on that. And certainly, a lot of the artists seem to agree with this, people who put out their music on the internet. In this particular case, these guys obviously have already made their fortunes putting out music, and now they're kind of giving something back to the fans, and I think that's really cool and healthy. And I've never seen Mick Jones happier. than when he was on stage. He seemed to be having the time of his life. Like, there's no pressure anymore. And you have to wonder, these musicians that are out there that have already made it, they still seem to be so stressed and still worrying about selling the latest album and making sure that it gets maximum exposure and the highest price and all that. There's that feedback again. That's weird. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but we'll know soon when this song actually ends.
And all of it is good. Good evening, here's the news. And all of it is good, and the weather's good.
Yeah, you know what? It's us. We're feeding back. It's finally happened. The radio station's feeding back onto itself. I don't have anything on the speakers. I'm simply wearing headphones and talking to the microphone, and yet I'm feeding back. Well, what can I do about this? I can either not wear headphones, in which case I have no idea if I'm being heard. I could stop speaking into the microphone. That's a win-win for a lot of people, but this shouldn't be. All right, I apologize for the high-pitched noises that you may hear occasionally. I don't know how to fix this. Okay, you know what? I just tried to adjust the headphone volume, and now the headphones don't work at all. Okay. Here's a story. It's so disconcerting when you can't hear yourself. All right. I think I can hear myself now. I really apologize for this. Okay, here's a story. Now it's flicking back and forth from one ear to the other. This is like it's an obstacle course. It really is. Just speaking into a microphone. Incredible. Here's a story that comes out of Austin, Texas, which is always a fun place to do fun things. And someone apparently found a good use for the Texas Capitol, and that was to turn it into a disco joint. Yes, this comes from the American Statesman down there in Austin. On Sunday afternoon, right at 2:10, about 50 people in their 20s and 30s gathered in the Capitol Rotunda and danced with their iPods on their heads. The dancers could hear the music, but you couldn't. About the only noise coming out of them was this one chick who sounded kind of like she was having sex with her clothes on. It's the kind of sound you want to hear in the Capitol Rotunda, isn't it? Bopping about, they looked like they were having a lot more fun than what goes on when the legislature is trying to do stuff like throw out House Speaker Tom Craddock. You can tell we're in Austin, a bystander observed. I didn't see any political signs. The main agenda of the event was smileage. Smileage. All right, just for that, you get identified. This was written by John Kelso, American Statesman staff down there in Austin. Smileage. How many laughs you can get per gallon of daylight? Yeah, we all know. So you know, we pay for the space with our tax dollars, so why not use it for something that's fun? Explained Angel Schatz, the self-proclaimed perpetuator of the Civilized Disobedience Dance Party. That's pretty much it. It's a simple idea. The dancing went on for about 5 minutes before one of the two Department of Public Safety troopers on duty in the rotunda walked into the crowd and told them to take it outside. I think what set them off were the half dozen or so guys who joined in the fun belatedly by forming a line and skipping merrily around the edge of the dancing. Being tossed out, though, did not deter the dancers. They just conga-lined out the front door and began dancing in front of the Capitol. One guy began flopping around on the ground like a fish. They should have got permission from the State Preservation Board first for something like that, explained the trooper, who didn't want his name in the newspaper. It took him about 15 seconds to get their attention so he could throw them out. This was because with the iPods on, they didn't notice him. And after the Capitol dance, the party proceeded down Congress Avenue. The dancers hit the Austin Museum of Art, where Schatz said they totally loved it. Next, it was on to the lobby of the Paramount Theater, where Schatz said they totally did not love it. She figures they got tossed because the Nutcracker Suite was going on. At least they didn't charge the stage and get under Mother Ginger's skirt. We actually went into the Paramount. They didn't like it at all. She said it used to be the art director for the Austin Fit magazine. That was a person who we're quoting, whose name I seem to have misplaced. Angel Schatz, that's it. How long were they inside the Paramount before they got sent off? It was just like 10 seconds, she said. They weren't having our fun at all. Then Schatz said she was disappointed that the people from the Ron Paul rally who marched down Congress on Sunday didn't join up with the dancers. We were hoping we'd get some of those folks out on the dance floor, too. Well, that's a scary thought, a Ron Paul supporter dancing. The dance party was announced in advance by email and on MySpace and Craigslist, but the Capitol wasn't notified that anyone was coming by with iPods. Do you have to have a permit for a protest? That's something we all wondered. We were uncertain if we needed some sort of permit or to get permission, but we decided not to do it. Craziness in Austin. Oh, I love it. Some places, though. Some places, I think they'd react a lot more harshly than just asking to take it outside. But if you're involved in something fun like that, or you have ideas for fun things, we want to hear about them. That's what it's all about. Going out there and doing weird stuff. Okay, what else is going on? Speaking of weird stuff, okay, you got this guy Huckabee. I just love it. I love the whole electoral process where you get all these people right now in it. Of course, we don't ever get to vote ourselves. So the world knows. People like me, people here in New York even, we don't get to decide who the next president-elect is going to be. Or not president-elect, but presidential candidate for various parties. Because by the time it gets to us, people in Iowa and New Hampshire have already made that decision by voting in small numbers. I never could understand how that worked. Why not simply have everybody, regardless of political affiliation, everybody vote at the same time throughout the country? And have sort of like a playoff of sorts. I mean, I think that would be a lot more fair. I've seen people drop out of the race because they did poorly in Iowa, one state. And every year, every election year, it's the same thing. So anyway, you got this guy Huckabee, and I would love it if Huckabee was the Republican nominee for 2008. Because if after 8 years of Bush, the best Republicans can come up with is this chowderhead, then they deserve whatever it is they get. which I assume would be to lose and lose big. And if we actually elect this clown to be the next president, imagine that? President Huckabee. It sounds like a joke. It really does. I'm not making fun of the name Huckabee, but I guess I am, because it sounds like... It sounds like the kind of hick name that you'd see on Green Acres. And I'm not dissing them, because anyone on Green Acres, anybody on Green Acres, would be a far better president than what we've had for the last 8 years. But anyway, this Republican presidential hopeful, Mike Huckabee, has refused to retract a statement that he made in 1992, which called for the isolation of AIDS patients. Not 1892, 1992, he made that remark. Responding to an Associated Press questionnaire, Huckabee said steps should be taken to isolate the carriers of this plague during his failed run for a U.S. Senate seat. That was when he was running for a Senate seat in Arkansas 15 years ago. He said he probably would not make the same statement today because of what is known about HIV and how it is transmitted. You know, I'm sorry, but I was around in 1992. And in 1982, people knew that AIDS, HIV, was not transmitted by casual contact. So to make a statement like that, that you have to isolate people because they're carriers, is incredibly ignorant. And to not admit that you're wrong after all this time, that tells you something. It tells you it's more the same stubbornness that we've been seeing. It's not going anywhere. Now, would I say things a little differently in 2007? Probably so, Huckabee said to his friends over at Fox News. But I'm not going to recant or retract from the statement that I did make, because, again, the point was not saying we ought to lock people up who have HIV/AIDS. Of course, he didn't go into any details as to how exactly to isolate these people. And during his Senate run, Huckabee also told the AP in that same questionnaire that he found homosexuality to be an aberrant, unnatural, and sinful lifestyle. And, speaking last Monday in Miami, Huckabee said he still stands by his earlier remarks on homosexuality. Let's understand what sin means, he said. Sin means missing the mark. Missing the mark could mean missing the mark in any area. We've all missed the mark. Oh, yeah, he's floundering. And he's leading. Isn't he in first place or something with the Republicans? I love it. Bring it on. I can't say that anymore, can I? Okay, we've had a lot of mail, and we've been sort of falling behind. So I guess what we're going to try to do today is catch up a bit with the mail and take some phone calls. Actually, you know what? Let's get this over with now. Since it's always such a major pain to go into delay, why not I just get it over with now? And that way, if I mess things up any more than I already have, I'll have plenty of time to recover. So let's see. Delay. Hopefully delay is working. We're going to put that over there, and then I'm going to go over here. Okay. Let's keep our fingers crossed. We're going to have help from a bunch of kids who are going to lead us into the world of delay.
You're listening to...
Nick!
Danny!
Michael!
On WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey! Oh! Let's go!
And here I am, and I think I made it. Thank you very much for helping us get there, kids. All right, good. It's always such an adventure. So that means we can take phone calls, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, with only 5 minutes left in the show. Yeah, that's right. We're off the air at 6:30 because that's what we said. That's the way to get phone calls to come in, by making them come in at the last possible minute. Yeah, let's see if that works. I'll keep looking. I'll keep looking at the switchboard. With only 4 minutes left. Yeah, everybody has to call in at the same time. All right. You know, this isn't working. I know. We all know the show doesn't end until 7, so you have that much time to call in. But please, call in a little bit earlier. Let's read a couple of bits of mail, which come in the form of letters, to otw@2600.com. Always fun to hear from our listeners. Dear Emmanuel, I usually agree with your viewpoints on SUV drivers, police brutality, and how privacy is being taken away. Your show, Off the Wall, is usually fun to listen to, but... when you start in on gun control, I have to say that your views really piss me off. You know, we got a ton of mail. We really did. We got a lot of mail, and I'm looking forward to reading this. I really am. We picked a few, and this is fun. It gets people thinking and talking and all that. Let's dive into it. On Wednesday's Off the Wall program, and this was probably 2 weeks ago, you made the incredibly ignorant statement that guns are being handed out like candy. What world do you live in? I bought a handgun once. I had to take a firearm safety class, present my safety certificate to the gun shop, then wait 2 weeks and pay extra for an FBI background check. I had to buy a gun lock that had been approved by the local police department before the gun shop employee would actually give me the firearm I had paid for. When I received my Ruger, did I pronounce that right? Ruger? I don't know. 22 target pistol, it came with a bullet casing in an envelope. The envelope contained a note from Ruger saying, "One round was fired from this pistol and sent to the FBI for ballistic records for the purpose of matching and identifying this firearm if it is ever used in a crime. Emmanuel, even my gun is fingerprinted. The only place I can legally shoot my little 22 target pistol is at a local gun club where they only operate during select days and hours of the week. It has to be transported with a lock through the chamber and then inside a locked case. The case needs to be in the back of my vehicle, locked in the trunk. That's 3 locks that I need to use in order to drive my own firearm to the rifle range. You say there should be more Okay, you see, right there. If this is the kind of regulation that every gun in America had, do you think there would be a problem? I mean, yeah, you know, it can be a pain. But obviously, your gun was not handed out like candy. We're not talking about you. We're talking about a lot of other people that are able to get guns like candy, sometimes easier. And if you don't believe me, drive through a lot of neighborhoods where crime is extremely high, and ask the people that are packing on street corners what kind of procedure they went through. I'll bet it's nothing like what you went through. Yeah. And guns are just being handed out to those people, not by the government, not by gun stores. I don't think. But they are being handed out. They are being handed out, and it's a sad situation, and something's got to be done about it. Why is that so upsetting to hear someone say that? Now let's continue with the letter. You say there should be more regulation and punishment for people who use a gun improperly. Emmanuel, please use the local library or the internet and look up the laws concerning gun use in a crime. You will find the penalties are very severe. Use a gun, go to jail. Remember that ad campaign? Actually, I don't. I remember if you got caught with pot, you went to jail. You should if you misuse a gun in any way. If you allow a gun to get into the hands of a kid or leave it out in the open or misuse it in any way, you should be dealt with very severely because these are weapons of death. So I don't think there's enough of that going on. I don't think there's enough people taking responsibility. Continuing here, let me tell you, my 18-year-old cousin was giving a ride to somebody earlier this year, and he was pulled over for speeding. The police checked the IDs of the people riding in the car, and it turned out that the friend he was giving a ride to had a warrant for his arrest. The police arrested the passenger and searched him. They found an unregistered firearm, which my cousin did not know about. The friend had hidden it in a pocket. The police arrested my cousin. This is the real kicker. My cousin had to go to jail for 60 days for transporting an unregistered firearm in his vehicle. It wasn't even his gun, and he didn't even know it was being carried by his passenger. According to the law, that is unacceptable. My cousin had his driver's license taken away for 1 year and was charged with a felony. Now he can never own a gun because the law states convicted felons may not purchase or possess a firearm. Okay, you know, you seem to think that everything having to do with gun regulations is my idea. That's not my idea. That doesn't seem fair. If the way you describe the story is the way it happened, why should he be charged with a crime at all? Because of what somebody else in his car had in his pocket. This is very similar to what we were talking about last week with Lurid and how all of his troubles started because somebody left something in his car that he was giving a ride to. He had no idea it was there. And yeah, that's something that that should not be. And also the fact that convicted felons may not own guns, I don't agree with that either. You see, you guys are coming at this as if I'm standing up there saying everyone has to turn in their guns and it has to basically become forbidden. When I've gone to great pains, great lengths, I think, to say that that's not what I agree. In fact, I even listened. I even listened because I thought we were listening to two different radio programs here. And I'm going to quote myself. Outlawing guns was never the goal. I said that. Outlawing guns was never the goal. You don't ban the weapons. There is no one solution. Cool toys are fine. Cool toys, which is what a lot of people think guns are, cool toys. And that I have no problem with that. I've said all this, but yet you're still pissed off. Yet you're still outraged that I would dare to say that people should act responsibly and that we should keep track of these things. What kind of world exactly do you want? Where everyone can just fire at will at whoever they feel like? Because that's what it sounds like. And in various places, this is the mentality. This is what we have to fight. Where people think that they can just do whatever they want. Everyone else be damned. No, I don't think any convicted felon should be prohibited from ever owning a gun. However, I do think that if you are doing something bad with a gun and you have a felony as a result of that, or even anything resulting from that, if you're misusing a gun, yeah, you shouldn't be the kind of person to be trusted with one in the future. I think that's a good indication right there. But if you get a speeding ticket or you get a felony for something else that's not related to guns, no, I don't see the relation there. I also don't see, and I don't see any outrage here. This is another thing that pisses me off, is all you guys out there getting all self-righteous about your gun rights, you're not mentioning things like convicted felons aren't allowed to vote. You're not mentioning things like search and seizure laws being thrown away. You're not mentioning things like your First Amendment rights. These things don't seem to matter nearly as much as someone saying, hey, we'd like to know what kind of guns you're stocking there, or we'd like to at least write down your name or something, or know in case you decide to massacre a bunch of people that, in fact, it was your gun. You know, these kinds of things. seem to think that your forefathers were right there next to you saying that your rights are being violated by having these kinds of things asked of you. It's nonsense. Anyway, let me finish up with this letter. I'm sorry for all the interruptions. So yes, Emmanuel, there are laws concerning the improper handling of firearms. And no, they are not being handed out like candy. Not to you, they're not. To many people, they are. Go to the streets of Philadelphia, the streets of Baltimore, the streets of Detroit. We have serious problems. We can't see that. I don't know what else you're going to need to open your eyes. Better yet, please tell me, where do you get a weapon that is not registered to you? I'd be interested in knowing that. Other than breaking into the house of a law-abiding gun owner and stealing it. Oh, but you don't believe that people need to own guns in order to protect their homes, do you? You think that argument is a big joke, right? Okay, well, we're going to veer off onto this little side alley. I think a lot of people do overreact insofar as protecting their property. And here's an example. These are just things I pulled less than half an hour before I came in today. This was dated November this year. Police said a southeastern Indiana woman chasing her dog was fatally shot by her neighbor after the dog ran through the neighbor's property. Now, come on. Is this a valid use of a firearm? Somebody's on your property, so you shoot them? There are many of you out there that believe it is. You had the case in, was that in Texas? It had to be in Texas, where somebody actually was recorded on the phone talking to a 911 dispatcher saying that two people had broke into the house next door. And while he's talking to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher is telling him to, like, calm down and not take any further action, the cops are on the way, he said, oh, I'm going to shoot them. It's not my house. I see them. They've broken into this house next door, and they have dark skin, so obviously they don't belong there. Of course, he didn't say that, but, you know, that was going through his mind. And he killed both of them. And I don't know. I haven't checked that case recently. That was actually a few weeks ago. I don't know if he's gotten away with it. But can you honestly say that that's right? To take somebody who, yeah, he's stealing, he's committing a crime, it's bad, he should be punished for it. Death, though? You know? And not even your own house. That was the other thing. There were all kinds of possible, albeit unlikely ways, that this could have been not what he thought it was. Maybe they were doing some kind of weird role-playing game. Maybe he had permission of the house owner to see if he could break and enter. Maybe the guy thought he was in the wrong house. I don't know. There's all kinds of bizarre explanations, none of which I really believe. But you don't just shoot people. That's something that we take too lightly. And yet there are many people out there defending this guy's actions, saying, yes, they deserved it. No, they didn't deserve it. They deserve something. They don't deserve that. All right. This letter is still going on. I'm sorry. You are just as ignorant and critical about gun owners as you are about the people who are ignorant and critical about hackers. Oh, come on. Where do you get that? You attach a stigma to gun owners, calling them rednecks. I never called gun owners rednecks. I never called gun owners rednecks. I called rednecks rednecks. I said there's rednecks everywhere. Rednecks populate the Newsday bulletin board. And I know that because just you post anything on there, any news story right away turns into it's the Mexicans and the blacks that are causing all the problems. And we got to burn crosses in front of their houses and stuff. You know, yeah, I don't mind calling people like that rednecks. Because they are. They're ignorant, stupid people. And, you know, there's also some decent redneck type people, too. But I'm not going to get into that right now. In that case, I meant it as an insult. Anyway, yet you regularly complain about people who attach a stigma to hackers. Yeah, I back it up with facts and with the truth and with information. It's obvious that you do not own a firearm. Is it obvious I don't own a firearm? Is it really obvious? You've never even tried to purchase one. You're also blissfully unaware of current laws regulating them. So maybe you should actually try to purchase one and talk to other people who are into guns before passing judgment. Signed, Joshua. Well, Joshua, first of all, thanks for writing. But you really need to get your facts straight on things I say, things I don't say. And you know what? Right before the show, on this very computer here, I typed into Google, buy guns online, and I found this site Well, you can actually do that. You can buy guns online. It's called the Gun Source. And I can click on this right here. I'm doing this live on the air, by the way. I'm not gonna go through with it. But look, I have a High Point High P 34510 45 ACP, whatever the hell that is. And look, there's a picture of a handgun. And for $160, I can click Add to Cart. It's in stock. I've added it to my cart. Now I can check out. So this seems pretty easy to me. Now, I imagine it's not as easy as it looks right here. There's got to be some, even I don't think it's this easy. There has to be something else that you you do before this thing gets delivered to you. But the mere fact that you can just browse online and find these things, I imagine if you're very determined, or not even very determined, just determined a little bit, it won't be very hard to get this thing delivered to you. Yeah, here's the checkout. I can enter my credit card information now. Yeah, I'm at the stage where I can enter my credit card information, and they're not saying anything to me about licensing, about getting permission. And I'm not going to give them my credit card information because I don't want to go that far, but I'm sure there's something else. Probably you have to send it to a gun dealer or something near you. But there are so many loopholes. There are so many ways to get around that. You have a friend down there, or you send it to a fake address, a fake name. I'm sure that people have figured ways around this. All right. Let's read another letter. Again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Take some phone calls in a couple of minutes. I see there's one coming in. That's good. Let's get a couple more. And all these letters are so angry, too. Unlike any other debate that I have, people really fly off the handle. Okay. On Tuesday's Off the Hook show, Off the Wall, you mentioned that you didn't get enough hate mail. Actually, on Off the Hook, we mentioned we didn't get enough hate mail, but you're writing in to Off the Wall. It gets confusing, I know. Even I get confused. This isn't exactly hate mail. It's more dislike mail. I want to tell you that you sound like a big hypocrite when you talk about gun control. How about somebody who just doesn't agree with you? Is that acceptable? When I heard your long editorial on guns during Wednesday's Off the Wall... Okay, Off the Wall is on Tuesday. Off the Hook is on Wednesday. My goodness. I simply turned your show off. So then you didn't hear it if you turned it off. Your views on guns are inconsistent with your other views on freedom and are totally illogical. I look forward to hearing how. You say that we should not ban guns, we should just regulate them harshly, like we do with cigarettes to discourage people from using them. Hey, Einstein, isn't that the same thing? If you apply more and more red tape to the ownership or possession of something so that eventually nobody uses it, then over-control achieves the same purpose as banning it altogether. Well, people have said the same thing about smoking bans, yet people continue to smoke. Doesn't seem to hurt the tobacco industry very much. And continuing here, I guess in your perfect world, cigarettes would not be banned. They would just cost $100 a piece. And the only smoking zone in the United States would be a 10x10 patch of concrete at the four corners. No, I'd say in a perfect world, people who wish to smoke would be allowed to do so, as long as it didn't hurt anybody else, such as coworkers, casual acquaintances, people who happen to be around them, children, and pets, people that live in your house. They should not be subjected to this. I know so many people who grew up with cigarette smoke in their house all the time. This is very unhealthy. This is bad for them, probably cut many years off their lives. And yet there are still people out there who say there's no relationship between secondhand smoke and heart disease, lung disease, things like that, even though it's been proven many times over that is in fact the case. So yeah, some things do need to be regulated. Just today I heard about the mayor of San Francisco wanting to impose a huge tax on soda, on things that lead to obesity, because so many people just don't get the message. And yeah, I know it's a nanny state kind of a thing, but sometimes when people prove to be incapable of taking care of themselves for whatever reason, you kind of have to prod them a little bit. Not outright bans, but offer incentives. And, yeah, penalize stupidity. I don't have a problem with that. Anyway, following this Emmanuel logic, yes, it's named now, Emmanuel logic, in your perfect world, guns would not be banned, but the only people allowed to shoot them would be registered Boy Scouts in good standing, and they could only shoot 22 long rifles painted blaze orange that they check out from the library. Well, yeah, that is a kind of crazy, but I do believe that people who own and use guns should know how to own and use them. Just like people who drive cars should know how to operate them. And you don't let anybody do that. People have to pass tests. People have to not get a string of violations that endanger other people. Why is that different for something as deadly as firearms? Okay, way to go, Emmanuel. Thanks for speaking out on America's Lost Freedoms. Signed, Port Pirate. Okay, thanks for your letter, too. Dear Emmanuel, what's going on inside your head? You know, so all these letters start off with insults. Incredible. That comment you made on the last off the wall show about how they are handing out guns like free food was probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard you say. Your viewpoint on gun control is way off, and your comments are simply absurd. You had a whole paragraph there of just nothing but insults. I don't understand where you get your ideas. Okay, we still haven't gotten to the point. First, you say that you don't understand the purpose of guns. I don't think I ever said I don't understand the purpose. I don't understand why people are so infatuated by them and why they think they're going to be the savior of their lives. I don't get that at all. I think we have an unhealthy fascination with weaponry. I said something like that. You said the only reason you see for people having them is to protect themselves from other people who have guns. Well, it does seem to be one of the major reasons these days, doesn't it? It's one of the arguments I hear. I got to protect myself. Got to protect myself against those people with guns. That'll burst in through my door. Yeah. That is one of the main reasons people... And the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, if there weren't so many of them in the first place, wouldn't that be better? I know we can't go back in time. We can't make all the things vaporize. But can we at least agree that there are too many damn guns out there? I can't say that. I can't say that without getting jumped on. Because if you do that, apparently you're attacking your right to own these things. No, I think a lot of the major issues, major problems of the day are that too many people have too easy access to too many weapons. And just look around you. People are shooting these things off in shopping malls, in churches, in schools, any place where people gather. Because they obviously are not capable of rationally using these things in moments of stress. That's why you have to be very, very careful with access to them. Personalities that maybe shouldn't have access to them because they have all kinds of mental issues. These are valid concerns that the rest of society, I think, is very focused on right now. All right, but anyway, I think I've gotten a sense as to what the viewpoint is out there. Many other letters that I could go into, but wow. I just think it's unhealthy, and I also don't think there's any reason in the world, and maybe somebody can explain this to me, why you need automatic weaponry or semi-automatic guns or things like that. You know, if you're hunting, fine. If you're doing target practice, a single round seems to do the job, then you cock the thing and you fire again and reload, whatever. I hear people... It's duck hunting season now, so I hear the duck hunters around here. We have duck hunters. And fine, you got to hunt ducks. That's your business. But they're using automatic weapons on them. You hear like a machine gun going. They're spraying the sky, hoping to hit a duck. And that, to me, that's not really hunting, is it? Maybe that's how Bush hunts, but that's not how you improve your aim. That's how you just take out a whole flock of geese or ducks or whatnot. So yeah, unless you're planning on taking down the government, and you know, we'll talk later. If you come up to me with a plan to do that, I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear what your plan is to go up against the tanks and the mortars and the armies and various other tools that the government has. Because I don't think that's it. I think it's about, like I said, having cool toys, having things to play with, fine and good. Not saying to ban the things, but use them responsibly. All right, 631-632-9872. Let's take some phone calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Seems like we've been over this road before, huh?
Seems that way, yes. But which road do you want to go over?
Well, basically, is I've done all of the above, all right? I have guns. I have access to guns. Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to the theory that I'm going to shoot somebody if I see them crawling into my neighbor's house. What I'm going to do is call the cops. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
those people, where did you say they were? Texas, who killed two people because they were the wrong color or whatever it was?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of putting myself in there, in his head saying that, but that was Texas. But it's not just confined to Texas. You've got gun problems everywhere, in every major city. How about this? This is a case out of New Hampshire. A woman was shot and killed after she and her husband fired guns at each other during an argument. You know, if you have ready access to these things and you get mad or you get drunk or something, you're more likely to use them. Imagine yourself being like bullied in junior high school and having a gun in your pocket. What could possibly happen? You know?
Well, when I was in high school, I got my rear end kicked on a regular basis. And the last thing I thought was to go home and go grab a gun. I did. I wouldn't get out of the front door with it.
Uh huh. Well, that's good. That's it sounds like it came from a responsible place.
That's the difference between then and now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That bit about online buying a gun for $150 or $45, whatever you were talking about.
Yeah.
You were right about that. What's going to happen is that gun will not be shipped to your house. It'll be shipped to an FFL, a federal firearms licensee. You will then go to him and pick it up, provided you have a license.
Okay.
If you do not have a license, you won't get it. It'll probably go to the FFL and stay there. And
okay.
It'll probably have to be shipped back, because if you don't have a license in New York, which I have, okay, you're not going to get it. It's that simple.
Okay. Now, what if it was sent to a different state where the rules aren't quite as rigid and you simply had a friend FedEx it to you?
Well, he'd be in an awful lot of trouble.
If they opened the package, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be in big trouble if you FedEx the firearm. That's not something you would do either.
Uh-huh.
You're taking a big risk doing that.
Okay, if you do it that way, yeah, you probably are. But again, there's all sorts of ways I could think of to thwart the system, having friends in certain places. Obviously, most people on the street are not getting guns in that particular way. They're being handed out in other ways, but they are being handed out.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it that way, then perhaps you're right. But, I mean, I know it's not on the street and, you know, with somebody handing you a gun, or you can buy one in an alley or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. In certain areas, it's a lot more difficult to obtain a firearm than it is in other areas. Here in New York, the only thing that they don't want is a skin sample. I mean, it was a pain to get it, and it's 6 months, and you go through all these checks and this mm-hmm. and that. And basically, you know, if I come across another pistol license holder from New York, I know that person is of good character, good stock, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Right? Somebody
okay.
I would probably trust. Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Aside from somebody who can't get a license. And I know plenty of guys who like to just hunt, take a shotgun in the woods and go shoot deer. Okay. Because of past problems. They can't do it.
What do you mean by past problems?
Felonies or, assault, that type of stuff. Stuff that people who you really don't want to have a weapon to begin with.
Okay, well, I don't know about felonies, but definitely assault or violence of any sort. Yeah, I wouldn't want guns in the hands of people like that.
Of course not.
Right.
But then again, it's not, you know, automatic weapon fire. I've been to a lot of ranges on the island and in, you know, upstate. I've never even physically been next to anybody who has an automatic anything.
Well, keep in mind, I admit rightfully and readily that I'm ignorant on a lot of things involving guns. So when I hear a gun that fires maybe 3 times in 5 seconds, is that automatic? Is that semi-automatic? I don't even know.
Chances are that's probably semi, especially you said it with duck hunting.
Yeah.
That's most likely semi-automatic, or it could be somebody with a pump shotgun who's actually really, really fast with it.
Okay, but seriously, if you're hunting, do you really need that?
Semi-automatic, to be honest with you, some of my purest friends will only hunt with a pump shotgun because they feel semi-automatic is just not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And if it's not necessary for hunting, then what is it necessary for? That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, if you're, let's say, for instance, shooting competition or something like that.
Okay, fine. But then you don't need it in your house, do you?
not for personal protection, no, but obviously it has to be kept in your house, in the safe, but yes.
But it's just when I hear these stories about people going into malls and they have these weapons that can take out 20 people in a minute, what other reason could there be for having this? If you're not hunting a herd of ducks all at once or something like that, it seems the only purpose to having them in the first place is to take out a lot of people quickly.
I understand what you mean. Yeah, something like that is most likely a military-type weapon. And that blockhead in, was it Colorado last week, whatever it was?
Well, there were the two shootings in Colorado. No, actually, was it Colorado? Was the mall or the church? I forget. You know, there's so many of them. There was a mall shooting, and then there were two church shootings.
I didn't hear anything about the church. Wow, you do something like that in the church, that's a trip ticket to...
But you see, any place where there's a gathering of people and there might be an emotion involved, if you have a gun around, then something is going to happen. And every single institution, I don't think there's one left where there are crowds. I don't think a single one has not been touched yet.
Well, that is a shame.
But and yeah, this does happen.
The guy in the mall, he was using what is called an SKS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That was an AK-47, which...
Yeah, what do you need that for? I don't get this. What do you need Teflon-piercing bullets for?
I used to own one, and the only thing I found it good for was for shooting, just throwing up a lot of dirt.
Uh-huh.
It's very inexpensive to shoot, and after a while, it just wasn't any fun for me. So I got rid of the thing, and I, you know, have what you would call, I guess, traditional... hunting weapons, if you will. You know, bolt action rifle, pump shotgun, and a bow and arrow. That's pretty much it for me.
You see, I think a lot of this, Bowling for Columbine opened up a lot of eyes, and people continue to malign Michael Moore for his views on this, but actually what he said, I think, was pretty enlightened and something that gun people should agree with, and it's not the guns that are completely the problem. It's our violent society, and that has to be addressed. People bring up Canada, ready access to guns in many, many households there, but not nearly the same amount of gun crime because they don't have as violent a society. So it's a combination of things. There's no one answer, no one solution.
Well, that would make sense, too. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think the first gun store of all places, Osaka. I was in Japan last summer,
mm-hmm.
and I think the first gun shop opened up in Osaka. I think it was the summer before.
Uh-huh.
I know you traveled everywhere.
I didn't take in all the gun shops, though.
But that was a big deal there. I hear other people beeping in, so they might want to get in before.
Yeah, they're beeping in, but, you know, we're pretty much about to beep out because we're out of time. Let us know where you're calling from.
I'm in Stony Brook, actually, myself.
Oh, a local caller.
Yep, a local caller. Pretty faithful, too. As a matter of fact, I'll be listening on the other channel tomorrow.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for sharing your views.
You're very welcome.
All right, and the rest of you out there that didn't get in time, I can't believe it. We did the half hour trick, and it still didn't work. But at least we took one phone call. The rest of you, please write to us otw@2600.com. Or next time we're on the air taking phone calls, please call in. And you gotta just keep trying because I know you get disconnected quickly, and you have to try again. But that's the way it is. So. Send us your views, and we'll read them one way or another. And this is Emmanuel. It's been a lot of fun, as always. Remember, next week, I don't know what's going to go on next week. But the week after that is our special 2007 clip program, so tune in for that. And, of course, Off the Hook is on tomorrow night, as always. And hopefully you'll stay awake and alert and let us know anything interesting that happens both in the world and your life. Again, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. Have a good night.
And people die from being old or left alone because they're cold. And bombs are dropped on fighting cats and children's dreams are run with rats. If you complain, you disappear just like the lesbians and queers. When your soul tells you to
Well, that looks like the bash over there.
You think we ought to walk in, or...
All right, hold it there. Are you on the list? What's your names?
I'm John Tobacco.
And I'm Nigel Lennon, and we host the Non-Objective Reality Show on WUSB Stony Brook.
Never heard of it. This is invitation only. I don't see you wearing no black ties or nothing.
Well, we just came from the studio. Anyway, I can see Tom and Ray Maliazzi over there, and they're not wearing any black ties.
That's a different story. They have the highest ratings in NPR. They can wear whatever they want. You're on the list, lady.
No, look, we're involved in independent radio, if you know what that is.
A likely story. You look like you're trying to get into a party for the free booze or something. Come on, step out of the way. Over here. Come on.
Hey, John,
come on,
over here. Drink. Come on.
Oh, hey. Good evening, Mr. Shaw. Come right in, will you? Mr. Glass. Miss Gross, good to see you.
John Tobacco and Nigel Lennon's Non-Objective Reality Show. Distinctively independent talk, music, and interviews. Alternate Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on WUSB, Stony Brook.
They'll talk, you'll listen.
There we go. Very nice. No apologies, probably not for you. First off, it's on every other week. Secondly, it's on from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6:30 in the morning, on Saturday morning. And it always starts like this. Our spiritual den mother is Patti Smith.